Good evening. With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. The Assembly Labor Committee this morning was taking testimony concerning the proposal called Mining for America, which would eliminate the state's mining moratorium law, or the Prove It First law. Authored by State Senator Tom Tiffany and Assembly Representative Rob Hutton, the bill would allow mining companies to propose mining without first having to prove they can open and close a mine without pollution. Hazelhurst Republican Tiffany says the end of the moratorium would bring better-paying jobs to an area that is losing economic viability.
I urge you all to take a look at the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance document that they came out with in July. You will see a map there, and you'll see the communities that are the counties that are growing and those that aren't. It's very easy to see in far northern Wisconsin, north of Highway 29, we are becoming older and poorer.
A Democrat on the Assembly Labor Committee, Ted Onstad of Kenosha, questioned the concept that modern mining technology is safe enough to prevent pollution.
I certainly hope that it's the case, that there's new technology, but I'm not convinced that, you know, we can do this safely. And if there was indeed new technology where we could all be assured that this was done safely, I would think that there would be no need to have this Prove It First bill changed at all.
Audio courtesy of Wisconsin Eye. The testimony ran all day. The bill has already cleared the Senate committee chaired by Tom Tiffany and has gone to the full Senate. Democratic State Representative Deb Kolsty of Janesville has introduced a package of bills focused on reforming the pharmaceutical industry, including legislation to increase transparency in how prescription drug manufacturers set their prices. One bill requires drug manufacturers to notify the state prior to price increases of more than 25%. They would also be required to include a justification for the price hike and detail the amount of rebates provided to Wisconsin residents. Other bills would prevent insurance companies from removing prescription drugs from their formularies while a contract with a consumer is in place. Kolsty says consumers have been given little insight into what is driving drug prices to record highs. She says consumers are simply given higher prices without any transparency from manufacturers.
Actually, it's at a crisis point for insurances, governments, and consumers to try and get a handle on pharmaceutical drug pricing. Polls such as those by Kaiser Foundation and Harvard point out that pharmaceutical prices are becoming the number one concerns of Americans. A bipartisan concern, by the way.
Citizen Action of Wisconsin Director Robert Craig says one example is Narcan, the drug used to save lives in opioid overdoses.
It has gone up in price from $690 in 2014. So this is an established prescription drug, no change, no new research, from $690 in 2014 to $4,500 today, a price increase of more than 500% in 2 years. And given the opiate epidemic, that can only be described as price gouging.
Audio provided by Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Bringing the political conversation back to the local level is one of the aims of the Rebel Cities movement, but will it catch on in Wisconsin? Tim Morrissey reports.
Those who support this relatively new political concept say city governments are perfectly positioned to blunt what they see as a harmful rise of nationalism in the country. Rebecca Kemble is an advocate of Rebel Cities. She's an alder in Madison, a community she sees as having the potential to be a rebel city for its high level of community activism.
Small groups of organized people have really made big differences in policy, but they're not comprehensive policy differences. They're not reorienting our government policy generally more towards, say, recommonizing what we can.
Rebel Cities supporters believe a big part of changing local government is developing new political candidates who will run on platforms of changing institutional politics from the inside. According to Kemble, Madison has a long and well-deserved reputation as an activist community, but she says it's a lot of small group activism that hasn't been well coordinated. Kemble says Madison's image as a progressive and enlightened city often doesn't stand up to scrutiny, particularly in terms of quality of life for its minority populations.
Madison's a majority white city with some of the most extreme racial disparities in quality of living, economic indicators, and incarceration rates for African Americans.
Advocates of the Rebel Cities movement say city governments, rather than national political parties, are the best places to start putting government truly back into the hands of the people. For the Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Tim Morrissey reporting.
More than 9 of every 10 Wisconsinites on Obamacare will lose the federal subsidies that President Donald Trump has taken away. That move has Democratic state lawmakers calling on the president and state Republicans to find a solution to keep their health insurance affordable, especially for the poor who are most likely to lose their coverage once subsidies go away in January. Without them, state officials say the average insurance premiums will jump by 36% for the 215,000 state residents who get their insurance from the Obamacare Federal Purchasing Exchange. Republican Governor Scott Walker has said the state will look for flexibility in getting insurers in the program to cut costs, while U.S. Senate Democrat Tammy Baldwin says a bipartisan solution is needed to bring back what she called the cost-sharing reduction payments. Our forecast tonight, mostly clear with a low around 33. For tomorrow, increasing clouds with afternoon showers likely, a high near 56. Tomorrow night, showers and possibly a thunderstorm, a low around 42. On Sunday, a 50% chance of morning showers, cloudy with a high near 46. Blues Friday is next. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.